have all night prayer meetings. No, I would say all night. We do bless the Lord. Amen. We give God honor to the Lord, and we thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand of praise. Amen. You could be anywhere else. But you know my brother, you could be in the house of the Lord. We thank God for my wife. Amen. She's doing great. She don't have a hat. She wears two hats. No, I ain't gonna miss her. I ain't gonna miss her.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't gonna miss her. What book is it? Like, Dad, that's for old people.
Glory to God.
Amen. But hats of church. You know what? I'm gonna tell you something about hats. Just a side note. When people see you in your hats, guess where they know you're coming from?
Church.
Guess where they know you're going?
Church.
Right. So, that's gonna mean something. No, I'm talking about when you dressed up for church. I'm not talking about when you are spectacle. They put on spectacle hats. Amen. But when they see you in a hat. See, Sister Maggie? Everyone look at Sister Maggie. Praise the Lord, Sister Maggie. Oh, Maggie, you got the memo. No. Amen. Nevertheless. All right. Gotcha. You know, this y'all know, when you be acting up and you get the look, and we get it right. The double look. All right, praise the Lord, get it right. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen.
Thank God
for tonight being here. Amen. And we thank God for Deacon Francis and for Deacon Landor. Amen. On Saturday, they came in and ran some power to get all of the plugs out of the aisle. And you all didn't even notice it. You notice it? Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. We honor the Lord. We thank God. His mama said, my dad can do anything. And when I worked with him, I said, man, your daughter didn't tell a lie. You're real good. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, all I'm going to do is what you tell me to do. Amen. What he did in probably 2 hours, it would take me 6 or 7 hours. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for him and Deacon Joe. Amen. For them making it so that we don't have tripping hazards. Amen. Amen. And we bless the Lord. We thank God also today. Someone sent a $1,000 check in as a donation, but they don't want their name to be gone. So we bless the Lord for that. So you know how a lot of times when people are doing fundraising, they have what they call matching funds. I'm just wondering tonight. Everybody get real serious. How many want to match that $1,000? Think about it. Think about it. I didn't say you have to do it right now. Well, who knows? Maybe God bless you. You might want to match that $1,000. But we thank God. Amen. Because we have to get like $8,000 to do the church roof, so it's just in time. Amen. But let us stand at this time for our scripture reading. Amen. We're coming from 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Amen. Initially, I thought, I said, wow, Elder Gibbs did such a good job on the master predator on Sunday. Amen. I was going to follow his message up with some additional scriptures, but that was his message, so I decided I'd leave that alone. And besides that, the Lord didn't lead me that way. Amen. So we're gonna see where the Lord led us tonight. Amen. But how many know the master predator is just as real to me?
Yes.
Amen. He's out to get every last one of us. He's never convinced that we're gonna be saved. Amen. He doesn't care how long it takes. One thing about the devil doesn't have a short-term plan. His plan is long-term. He just wants to get you. In the end, that's his ultimate desire. But we're going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to come back. Let's read verses 6 through 18 together, amen, of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to read verses 6 through 18 together, and then I'll come back and we will touch on more on it, amen, Lord willing. Do we all have it?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 6 read, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your word. Be strong. Let not your hand be weak, because what? Don't be weary, well doing. God will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 8 reads, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel. They fell out in abundance. But what was it? When they saw that the Lord his God, something about God being with you. Amen?
Amen.
So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man. That's a serious covenant. See, if you don't follow the Lord, I'm going to put you to death. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoice at the oath, for they have sworn with all their heart, and sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word, and the church said, as blessed you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So tonight, our message that we want to deal with is, how are you following the Lord? How are you following the Lord? And if we were to have a sub part to that, would it be wholly or partially? How are you following the Lord tonight? Would it be wholly or would it be partially? Amen. And you know, as I was preparing another message, I actually got this message. But how are we tonight? How are you actually following the Lord? And we pray with the help of the Lord, we'll go through it. We will try to identify what it means to wholly follow the Lord, and what it means to partially follow the Lord. Amen? Amen. So the question is, how are you following the Lord? Are you following him, they said, with their whole heart and their whole desire? How are you following? How am I? Hallelujah. I don't want y'all to follow the Lord first before I follow. But tonight, as a whole, how are we following the Lord? Amen? And then we're going to go to some other scriptures to show that when you follow the Lord with your whole heart and your whole desire, the Lord will bless you. And not only will he bless you in a little bit, but he will bless you abundantly. But then we're going to go over some people that did not wholly follow the Lord and see how their blessing was delayed and how others missed out on their blessing because they only partially followed the Lord. When you partially follow the Lord, it's based on outward, external circumstances. When you partially follow the Lord, it's based on outward, external circumstances. But when you wholly follow the Lord, not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by his. So when you partially follow the Lord, you walk by sight and not by faith. When you partially follow the Lord, you follow the Lord based on what you can see and based on what you can personally interpret. But when you wholly follow the Lord, it's all about faith. Now the difference between partially and wholly following the Lord is when you partially follow the Lord, you doubt God and his word. When you partially follow, you doubt God and his word. When you wholly follow the Lord, Amen. Before we go to this, go to Psalms 119 for one. We're going to just read one verse and then we're going to come back to this in Psalms 119. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 2. We're talking about how are we seeking the Lord. I can't seek the Lord like you seek him, but I can seek him with my whole heart, my whole desire. Can you imagine? Asa was so serious about following God. He said, if you don't follow him with all, he said, you will be put to death. That's a serious covenant. How many of us are willing to make that covenant tonight? Lord, if I don't follow you with my whole heart, you can kill me. Yeah, I think it's pretty right? That's a serious covenant. You're saying, you know what? My whole heart, my whole desire, my whole being. Jesus said you ought to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your might. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 2 said, blessed are they that, if you keep God's word, you're what? Blessed. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, and they that seek him with part of their heart. They that seek him when they feel like it. They that seek him when everything is going well. He said, if you're blessed if you keep God's testimony and you seek him with your heart. You know, and God knows. How are we seeking God tonight? And don't get quiet on me. I know we all quiet because everybody has been reading Proverbs one chapter every day. Amen. That's what the problem is, right? All right. God forgive you. Start tomorrow, not tonight. Make up for it. But God will bless you if you keep his testimony with your whole heart, not partially. Partially, when you keep God's word partially, when everything is going well, then you will serve the Lord. But let a trial come by. And how do we react? Do we follow the Lord? You know, if we had that sentence, if I stop following you, Lord, you can kill me. Right? All right. We ain't gonna mess around there. We ain't gonna mess around too much. All right. But we want to come in and really want to be blessed. Blessed are they that keep his testimony. Amen. Blessed is the man that meditate on his word day and night. Amen. Because when I meditate on God's word, then his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Even in darkness, I'm still walking and standing strong because God is with me. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 so I don't lose time. But you know, have y'all ever heard the song, Give Me Just a Little More Time, Lord? No, man. That's a real song. Anybody ever heard that? Give me just a little more time, Lord? No. It's kind of amazing that it came into my mind because my grandfather used to sing that when we were a little kid. A little kid, give me just a little more time, Lord. So many precious souls are lost in sin. So many they're left behind. Just give me just a little more. Y'all want me? I ain't gonna sing it, I'm gonna read it to you. Give me just a little more time, Lord. You know, it's kind of amazing when they came and his man, we were like, I don't know how old we were. When my mother told us about my grandfather singing the song, and they didn't know why he was singing it. They didn't know if they wanted more time to do right, or if he was asking God for more time because he was living such a hellish life. Because my grandfather was a fellow. So they didn't understand why he was singing the song, but he would just break out and start singing, give me just a little more time. But the words, the lyrics go like this. I'm busy every day and I travel on my way to the city far beyond the sky, and there's not a doubt that time is running out and the harvest time is drawing nigh. Gonna need a little more time to gather in the grain before I leave this world behind. I'm ready at any time when you call me, Lord, but give me just a. There's a whole lot more to that. Y'all got to go down south. Yeah, I told y'all, y'all mess up staying up here all the time, right? But that's down when they were growing up in slavery and picking cotton. Those are the songs they used to sing. Y'all ain't picked too much cotton. I already know all that, right? But give me just a little more time. But how many of what God calls are number? You can't ask for time. When God calls your number, you got to be ready. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1 reads, "Now this is after God had performed a mighty miracle when the Ethiopians came against King Asa and Judah with 1,000,000. 1,000,000 is how many? A million, right? So they came against you, Judah with 1,300,000 chariots, and Judah and Asa said, Lord, we need you tonight. We need your help. He said, Lord, but at the same time, there's nothing for you to deliver by few as well as by many. And the scripture said, the Lord fought the battle and they won. And immediately after they won the battle, here comes the prophet. And the Spirit of God, verse 1, came upon Azariah, the son of Odeh. And he went out to meet Asa on his way back from the victory. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will. How we follow the Lord. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God. Hallelujah. Don't do no good for you to do anything if you don't have the true God. Without a teaching priest and without law. But the good thing about our God is he's merciful. But when they in their trouble, they turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and a lot of us are turning to God. How many of us are seeking him? The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and those that are living right their unrighteous, ungodly ways. Let them turn back to the Lord, and he will pardon, and he will have abundant mercy. Now, that scripture don't go exactly like that. All right, so I know all your Bible scholars, and you added a whole lot of stuff in there. I highlighted it and brought it out for you. But the essence is, get it right. It's time to come back to God. Why? Because God will always be there, like we think. The Bible says his spirit will not always stop. God gives us a certain portion of time to get it right. Amen? But I just want to skip down for the sake of getting what we need to get to. Let's go down to verse 7, okay? And you all can read it between on your own. It says, be ye strong. You got to be strong. What are they going to be strong? Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the... You got to be strong in the Lord. We're living in a day and time where people are so weak in the Lord that when things go wrong, they take it out on God. I thought God is great. And he does miracles so great that there is none like him. Well, why is it when things go wrong, we take it out on God? Amen. You know why? Because we're not holy following the Lord. Because you got to remember, God is sovereign. And the Bible says, it's God that worketh. I don't care what you're thinking, what you're doing. God is working in you. And when God is working in you, he working in you both to will and to do. You can get mad and say, oh, all you want. God said, I'm still going to work it in you. You can get mad and do what you want. God said, I'm still going to work it in you. Why? Because I'm working in you both to will and to do of my own good pleasure. You say, well, if I know God is working in me, then the scripture follows that I would do all things without murmuring and disputing. If God is working in you, let God work it out his way. If you have a whole heart to follow you anyway. That's fully, wholly following God. Amen. So I'm saying, in order for you to follow God, you got to be strong. You can't be weak. Everything that goes wrong, you can't get mad and take it out on God. Right? God allows tests to come. He told Ethan, I allowed you to go through that test. Well, God, why would you allow me to go through something that horrible? He said, because I wanted to know what was in your heart. God said, I wanted to know if you would keep my commandments and all. So yes, I allowed you to go through the test. He said, but I already knew the outcome before you went into the test. But I want to see what you would do. Well, who was God doing it for if he already knew? He was doing it for them, for us to see ourselves. You ever go through a trial or a test and you say, whoa, I failed. If you're honest, I ain't talking about you pseudo. Because pseudo people don't never fail. I'm talking when you're honest. And when you look at it, you say, you know, you ain't God. You don't worry about telling nobody else. Don't try to have no pity party, have nobody feeling sorry for you. Say, Lord, I messed up. Right here, do like this. You know, it's easy to do like that. I try to do like this. Say, Lord, I messed up. I need to get it right. That's when you are. That's when you have a heart to follow after God. Lord, yes, I messed up. Lord, I went the wrong way. But God, give me another chance. Lord, instead of having judgment, please have mercy. When David messed up, he said, we give you three choices. You can be put to the worst before your enemies. He said, you can fall into the hand of God. You can be assaulted. God will pour out pestilence. David said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God because God is merciful. We mess up, hallelujah, because there are none perfect and there are none righteous. No, not one. Either we sin through the sin of omission or commission. Commission is when you deliberately do the wrong thing. Omission is when you don't know and you do it. But the Bible says, every sin and every transgression receives a judgment. So you got to be strong when you mess up. Because be assured, no matter who you are, God's word will not change. If you mess up, you got to be corrected, right? So let not your hands be weak, because God will reward you eventually. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage. Right? You can't be a child of God if you don't have no courage. You can't walk with God if you don't have courage. Because courage is not outer strength. Courage is inner strength. So if because I got courage, and this is the thing about a person that has courage, if nobody else will want to do right, I do right all by myself. Because I'm not doing it for any of you, but I'm doing it for God. Hallelujah. Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mindset. For God I live and for God I die. Paul the apostle said, I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them for God. Why, Paul? Because I want to win Christ. That's where your heart is right now. You don't want to know you don't want to stand for God. I stand all by myself. But it said he put away all those abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin. Well, did he know they were there? Yes. But now it takes courage. Some stuff ain't right, but you just keep dealing with it. You got to have
courage.
I'm afraid of what I might lose. You can lose some stuff, but if you lose God, you lost. You got to take courage. Hallelujah. When stuff ain't right, you got to get it right. So Asa said, you know what? I know this stuff has been wrong, but I just heard a word from God. And because I had a word, heard a word, you might be mad at me. You might not like me, but I'm about to get some stuff right that's been wrong. So he put away those idols. And out of the land and out of the cities which he had taken. And he said, you know what? After I get rid of all that stuff, now I'm about to do some good stuff. I'm about to renew the altar. I'm about to get back to God where I ought to be. Well, how do you mean all this time you've had all this stuff going wrong and your prayer life has been suffering? It's time to get it right. Right? Get some courage. What are you going to do? I'm going to renew the altar. Right? So a lot of times we get rid of stuff, but we don't correct the stuff that's been messed up. Amen? So then the next verse says, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers out of this place and that place. First, let's skip down, amen, to verse 12 for the sake of time. Y'all, like I said, read this in between, amen, because I can't keep y'all here all night. Maybe I can. Nobody say amen. That's my freedom. All right, let's skip down to verse 12. And they entered into a what? To do what? And this is something you got to do. Don't do it for me. Amen. Because God knows our heart. Right now, how many of us said, I'm on the end of my covenant to seek the Lord? God of their father with. Now, you can't seek God with part of your heart and think you're following God. Because when you seek God with part of your heart, when things go wrong, you will stop following. When you seek God with part of your heart, when things don't go like you planned in your mind, you will stop following God. So if I'm going to follow God through hell or high water, I got to have a conviction in my heart. Amen? And with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether they be small or great, whether they were man or woman, and they swear unto the Lord God with a loud voice. Verse 15 says, and all Judah rejoiced that when they saw that God was in the midst. And when he saw the miracle that God had given them against the Ethiopian and the men that came against them, they said, certainly God is in this place. Anybody want God? Yes. Not just to be in this place, but when I want God, commitments to God, but not with our whole heart. Time will tell. The truth will eventually be revealed. If you don't seek God with your whole heart, when things go wrong, you will mess up. When things don't go right, you will get mad and take it out on everything, walking, moving, talking, and walking. When it don't go right, because it's not in your heart. Amen? So they're going to seek with their whole heart and with all their desire. And because they did that, he was what? Somebody said, why can't I get to God where I need to be? Where is your heart? Where is your whole desire? Where is your heart? Where is your whole desire? I want to go to Proverbs, but I don't have time to sidetrack right now. Now, how serious was Asa? Asa was so serious. Now, this is where a lot of us mess up at. It says, his mother who was who? Maacah, who because she had set up idols, right? She had groves. And he not only removed her from being clean, but he stepped down her and cut down her groves. Why? Because she said, I'm serious. Because you're in a position of authority and people look up to you. So if I let you stay wrong, then the people are going to get mixed up and think that I'm wrong. If I let you continue to do the wrong thing, when people look at you, they're going to think that I approve. He said, so I'm sorry, but I got to sit you down. I'm serious about my covenant. There's not a relationship that's going to come before me and my God. God won't take his anger out on me because I allowed you to have a negative influence on the people. So he took her, he took her down. Now that's a serious relationship. Some of us, we can't make that stand because we don't have the courage. Right? It takes courage to make a stand. So when someone is all messing up, you say, well, that's my mother, that's my father, that's my brother, that's my sister. Right? Whatever else, we're going to mess with husband and wife, we'll leave them out. But if they messing up, you can't follow them either. You got to make a stand. But if you can't make a stand, then you're not following God with your whole heart and your whole, you're only partially following God. Now let's go to Deuteronomy, first chapter. Deuteronomy is known as the second law. Because God had already given Moses the law when he was in Exodus 34 on Mount Sinai, the first law. But the people's heart was not right. So the first law, he had to get rid of it. And then he didn't really get rid of it, but he had to put it aside, but he had to reiterate the law the second time in the book of Deuteronomy, okay? So Deuteronomy 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Now, I've read this a lot, and I don't know, maybe some of you all have got it. You know, why did Moses send the 12 spies out? Think about it. Why did Moses send the 12 spies out? He didn't want to send them out. They wanted to go out. That's why he sent them out. Right? It wasn't Moses' idea. If you read this further, I don't think we'll get to it. It was the people's idea. They said, we don't believe what God has said. We want to send out spies to find out. All right? But verse 1 reads, are y'all with me, sir? Well, we're talking about partially following the law and are holy, right? Following the law. So verse 1 reads, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of the wilderness in the plain over against the Red Sea. Now God, the people have messed up so bad they messed Moses up. So God said, you're only going to see them with your eyes, but you won't be able to take them to the promised land because Moses allowed the people to cause him to disobey God. Right, so God would not let the man of God. Like he spoke to, but Moses allowed people to mess him up. Amen? So verse 2 said, there are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month. Now when God gave them the first law at Sinai, he said, you know what, it was only 11 days journey from here, from there to where we are today. But how long did it take them to get there? Wait a minute. How do you take 40 years to go on an 11 day journey? Because the people's hearts were not right. They did not wholly follow the Lord. So when you partially follow the Lord, you delay your blessing. When you partially follow the Lord, you delay your blessing. 11 days they should have been there, but it took them
40 years.
How do you think that long? Because they were dealing with a what? A heart condition. So when your heart is not right, even though God makes you a promise, you delay the blessing. Right, so wait a minute. I can't even imagine. Wait, in the world were they going for 40 years? What they could have did it in?
11 days.
Actually, for some reason God spiritually blinded them and they kept walking around the same area in the wilderness. God said, you know what, you're going to keep passing it until you get it right. But in essence, the reason that they kept going down, let's go down, actually, let's try to read, let's go down to verse 18 of the same chapter, right? In between 3 and 18, God tells them all the things. He said, never before has any nation ever heard God speak to them directly. God tells them, he said, no nation has ever been in the place that you were by God delivered them on eagle's wing. God said, there's never been a nation that I led in the daytime by a cloud and by night by a pillar of fire. God said, I did all of that and you still didn't believe. Right? God said, wait a minute. I spoke to you face. God said, I spoke to you out of the sky, even at the tabernacle. God said, I spoke to you. He said, never in the history of mankind has any of these events ever taken place. But you still did not believe. Verse 18 says, and I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy father has said unto thee, fear not, neither be. You got to have courage. You can't be
discouraged.
What in the world happened to the church to be there? Always discouraged. When our hope should be built on Christ. Our hope should be built on Christ. So why are we getting discouraged because of the tests? Be strong and let not your hands be weak, because your work shall be rewarded. Amen? Verse 22 said, and he came near to me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. So it wasn't Moses' idea. It's because they didn't really believe God. So because they didn't believe God, they said, you know what? We don't believe anything you're saying, so we're going to send people to verify what you're saying. That's partially following God. Because when you partially follow God, you don't take God at his word. You believe the word of a man over God. You believe the opinions of others over God. That's when you're partially following God. I know it's wrong, but you don't understand. Yes, your whole heart and whole desire. Nobody, absolutely no one, should get us to disobey God under any circumstance. I don't care if it's a doctor, I don't care if it's a lawyer, I don't care if it's a judge, I don't care if it's a policeman. If they say do something that God said don't do, make you a stand. Right? Because God knows how to bring you. Somebody said if God can bring you to it, he can bring you to it. If God brings you to it, then God can bring you. But do you believe the word of God? That's the issue. It's not whatever the circumstances are, because the Bible said there's nothing too hard for God. So if God brings you to it, I'm at the Red Sea. Lord, how do I get over it? Right? I have the Red Sea in front of me, and Pharaoh and his army behind me. Lord, what do I do? God told Moses, he said, stop crying. He said, stretch forth your staff and go forward. Our problem is when we get to hard times, we always retreat. We always quit. We always throw in the towel. Go, look at somebody and say, you got to go forward. God, can I talk to somebody else? Somebody here? Look and say, you got to go forward. You can't let that trial stop you. You can't allow that trial to turn you around. Amen. God gave us a weapon. Listen, when he gave us our spiritual weapons in Ephesians 6, every weapon he gave was for the front. He left nothing in the back. And this is why the devil is killing the church, because we keep. What did Jesus say? No man has put his hand to the plow. So the devil, at all. Every once in a while, we have to pull y'all one of those things just to wake you up. God never gave us no weapons for our back, because God never intended for the church to be cowards. God wanted us to go. Why are so many in the church going? Right? He never gave us that helpless salvation, sword of the spirit, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod. All of that was to protect us going. Say, well, if the devil keeps hitting me, then you need to put up your shield of faith. But you can't put up something that you do not possess. How are you going to put up a shield of faith? All those fiery darts, they'll just say, he hits me with every last one of them. Where's your faith? Because if you put up the shield is supposed to keep those darts away from you. So we're ducking, we're hiding, we're doing everything. It's time to stand. It's time to stop being a quitter, stop being a coward. Hallelujah. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. God didn't build a home in you to move away. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. He said, I'll be with you. Glory. You know what? Only Jesus can do this. When you leave from time to eternity, guess what? He's going to still be with you. Hallelujah. And nobody else. I love my wife, right? But when time is over, I'm going to be with her in spirit. I'm going to be with her. But when we leave from time to eternity, he said he's going to be with us. God ain't going to never leave. One of the smartest things, and you know what? I want something that I can hold on to forever. I got a lot of relationships. I got a whole lot of friends. But they don't remember me. The only one that's going to be with us forever is Jesus. All right, my time is almost up. Let me go through this. Let me keep going. All right. So he goes on and says this. He said, verse 22 says, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, bring us word again by what way we must go, and to what city we shall come. That was not the intent, as we will find out. And saying, please, and the same pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. So it was not Moses' idea. Whose idea was it? Because they didn't really believe God. So they wanted to prove it. Amen? And they turned and went to Eshcol, and they brought the fruit of the land. Verse 26 said, notwithstanding, you will not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. So after God had showed them the whole land, they wouldn't go. Verse 27, and you murmured in your... So I love the Lord. God's my all. And every time we get a chance, we complain. The Bible said they were overthrown in the wilderness because God was upset because they murmured. And we ought to rejoice. What was that song y'all sing tonight? Y'all don't sing Rejoice, y'all want to give God the glory. Some of y'all are singing about glory. I know glory was in there. What was that song, Mr. Simon, you sang? You deserve the glory, right? God deserves the glory, not the complaints, not the murmuring. But God got upset. Why? Because they murmured and they complained, right? Because the Lord hated us. How will God deliver you to destroy you? Think about that. How did God fill you with the Holy Ghost? Wash away all your sin. Now God's going to turn around and destroy you. Stop partially following the Lord. Amen. Follow him all the way. And he goes on and said, verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren has discouraged our heart. So the number one way you can tell when you're partially following the Lord with other people, make you lose your confidence in God. When other people cause you to lose your confidence in God, then you are partially fallen. And if you read about it, if you read about it in Numbers 13 and 14, when they went out to spy out the land, they sent out 12 spies. And they brought back all this beautiful fruit. They said, indeed, the land flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of the land. But they said, well, nevertheless, we saw Anak there. They were giants. And we are nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. And the people began to murmur and complain at that point, and God got angry. He said, anyone from the age of 20 on up will not go into the promised land. That's why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of their murmuring, their complaining, and they doubted God. But the scripture said, Caleb and Joshua stilled the people. They said, only rebel ye not against the Lord. So when you partially follow God, you will rebel. You won't follow God. They said, don't rebel against the Lord. So he said, because if the Lord delights in us, then he will perform his good word unto us. So guess what? The only one that was 20, above 20 years old that went into the promised land was Caleb. Out of all these millions of people, only, think about that, only two went in. Why? Because the scripture, if you read, said they holy. Not partially, if you read down further here. They wholly follow the Lord. And let us close in Jeremiah chapter 29. All right, Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's go to verse 10. We're going to close here. Amen. I think, do we have it, what it means to partially follow the Lord or to fully follow the Lord? Yes. Two out of all those million people made it. Why? They made the stand. They wholly followed the Lord. And the rest of them wandered around on an 11-day journey for 40 years because they did not believe God. Have we wandered in that same little circle because we keep doubting God? We won't make a stand for God. We won't honor the Lord. Well, this is Jeremiah speaking to the children of Judah once they had been taken. Once they were going to be taken, they weren't yet, they were going to be taken to Babylon in captivity because they had gotten so far away from God that God said, you know what, you don't speak my word. And at that time, the only one that was making a stand for God was Jeremiah. It's something about people. We get comfort in numbers. If God be for you, if God be for you, who then? So we go with Israel, they had 3 million. We're going to go with the majority. Only two. All, think about that. All those million people only that were above the age of 20. That was some younger ones, right? That's why Moses gave them the second law. He said, listen, the first group messed up. So I'm going to give you the law again so you can get it right. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 29 reads, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will. God never gives us a word that he doesn't fulfill. God said, after it's done, after I finish what I planned, he said, I will visit you and perform my word. How many of us have counted God out because things just haven't changed? Then you are partially following God. When you only follow God, say, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I have assurance with God that he's going to fix it. Somebody say, I might lay awake at night, but that's all right because Jesus will fix it. That's when you're convicted. That's when you're not partially following God. I don't see, everybody said it won't happen, it can't happen, but how many believe God? How many believe God? And trust God. Because he said he will perform his good word towards you in calling you to return to this place. He said, for I, Lord, thank you. You might not understand it right now. You might not understand the process. And you may not fully understand what God is doing. But God said, I know the. God said, everything. You know, all of us right now, God said, I see all y'all minds. Some of our minds are here, some of our minds are there. Say, I know the thoughts that I have. Say, the Lord, thoughts of. Tell the devil in your life. Stealing your joy. Stealing your peace. Stealing your comfort. Hallelujah. Right, the Bible says, when no man shakes. The scripture says the wicked flees when no man. Y'all read that in Proverbs, right? I know y'all did. So, right? But the wicked flees when no man is. Jesus. How can we be saved and know God? And we're running. God said, I know the thoughts I have also. Peace. Tell the devil he's a liar and not an evil. He said, because I'm going to give you. In other words, God said, your end is going to be all right. Just stay with God. Keep following in with your whole heart. Verse 12 says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and
pray to me.
Who are you going to pray to? So you're in the middle of it. You're going through. You still got to call. And you still got to pray. No use in telling a million people about it. They can't fix your situation. The Bible says, ask and ye. You know what? Ask God, because you might receive it, Minister Bloomfield. Ain't that what the scripture says? You might receive it. Don't let me trick you. See, and you possibly could find it. Shall be that's fixed. Ain't no guessing. He said, God said, then. And this is how a lot of us are. I want that job, but I ain't gonna knock on that door because they gonna turn me down. He said, knock at it. For everyone that asks it, receive it. Everyone that seeks it, find it. And everyone that knocks it, shall be open. And God says, I'm all over time, but give me 5 more minutes. Can I have 5? I ain't gonna take 4 more than 5. 5 minutes. Thank you very much. I'm gonna get the thing. I get a thing. This is what God says. If any of you, now he said that this is how we deal. Say, if your son asks you for bread, will you give him a? God said, if you ask for something that's going to give you strength and help, he said, I'm not going to give you a stone that's going to hurt you. Right? He said, if any of you ask for an egg, he said, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. Right? Egg is nutrition. A scorpion will kill you. This is what he says. Right? He said, if you ask for a fish, he said, I'm not going to give you a fish is nutrition, it will help you, a serpent will help you. He said, now if you've been evil, that's how you get me all messed up. You know how to give your loved ones good, and you think I want to give you something. He said, wait a minute, I'm confused. If you being, your whole nature is evil because we have the endemic nature from Adam. Your whole nature is evil, and you know how to give good gifts unto your God. Said, you just come to me in confidence as we all stand, and be assured of this: your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit and anything else you need unto you. But you got to believe. That's when we are holy following the Lord. As the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward. But when you partially follow God, you get caught up in the crowd. You get caught up in what's popular. You get caught up in what everybody else is doing. Tonight, tomorrow, as we go through, remember only 2 out of all millions of grown-ups made it to the promised land. Why? They followed the Lord. Don't allow anybody to turn you around. I've come too far. I can't turn back down. Anyone ever said, Lord, I've come too far. I fall too hard. I prayed, hallelujah, some hard prayers. I've committed myself to God. I'm not going to let anybody turn me around. I'm not going to let the worst trial turn me around. It came out of nowhere. But God said, if I ask, I shall. But how do we ask God and then we turn around and doubt? Right? Because God said, if you ask, And you doubt, that is double-minded and it is unstable. And the scripture said, let not that man expect to receive anything of the Lord. If you ask in faith, how many of us personally make a hard covenant? I'm following God. I don't care who else turns their back. I don't care who else said God can't. I know God. How many know God can? Give God a way more. Come on, I said, how many know God can? Hallelujah. I started out alone.